Many would call them a St. Louis icon, Johnny Mack's Sporting Goods. How many of you remember going in there and maybe getting ready for the next season at school or looking for the next glove to wear when you go to the ballpark? Johnny Mack's has been around for decades. We're going to learn from them and the lessons from now president Bob MacArthur. It's on this edition of The Business of Family Business, presented by CMA. And every week we look at family businesses from across the St. Louis region, the struggles they've had, the lessons they've learned, and some insights into what make them lasting institutions here in the city of St. Louis. And as always, if you're a family business and you would like your story told on this program, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA, their website, cmaconsult.com. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and in studio now, Bob MacArthur from Johnny Mack's and also Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. What year did Johnny Mack's open?
Officially, Johnny Mack's Sporting Goods opened in 1967.
Yeah, it's a long time. And your dad opened the store.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. What made him want to open a sporting goods store?
Well, he always loved sports, Ryan. He played baseball in the Army, and he was a Golden Glove boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very good one, but he was good enough. But he just loved sports,
mm-hmm.
and had five sons. So,
when people talk about institutions around St. Louis, you know, you could think of things like Ted Drew's or Emo's Pizza. People put Johnny Mack's in there. How do you feel about that?
Well, we all love food, so that's one thing we don't have in common with the other two. But one year I did a commercial where we asked permission for Ted Drew's and Emo's to be included in it. We called it the Big Three.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be the three that have been around for over 50 years in St. Louis. And so fond memories growing up, memories and experiences of those times.
Yeah. Did your dad start the business before you were born?
No.
Okay, so you were around. So you grew up in the business then?
Oh, yes, my whole life.
Yeah. And you said you had four other siblings?
That's correct.
All brothers?
All brothers, yeah.
Did you guys play sports?
We all had played sports, right, at one time or another. So.
Yeah. What was that like having in the family business a sporting goods store and you all play sports? Is that something you guys took advantage of and you always were having fun with?
Well, since we all played sports, economically it was a good payoff, you know, that we didn't have to buy sporting goods. But my mother and father, you know, both worked in the business and whatever it took, of course, to succeed. We all pitched in, but it was made for interesting times at the dinner table.
Mm, we will talk about that.
Yeah.
With your siblings and, of course, your parents, did your parents encourage you guys to play sports? Or did they like that you did that?
Yeah, I think it was not forced or anything like that, but it was a natural.
Yeah.
You know, that my father was so involved with the school that we went to and ran Fish Fries back in South St. Louis growing up. And you know, he was a baker also and did donut sales, bake sales at the local school also. So he was very involved with the men's club and sports organizations.
1967 was an interesting time, too. When you were growing up, you talked about the family dinner table. What was that like then? Was there ever a time you realized that mom and dad talked a lot of business at the table? Or did they leave it out? I'm curious.
Oh, no. That was impossible.
Yeah. So what was that like then?
Well, it was very, very interesting. And of course, it was all we knew. But it was a lot of the conversation. It mm-hmm. was either, you know, did you get your schoolwork done or dinner's on the table and have dinner. And then it wasn't always common that we always, during the week, sat down and had dinner together. But dad was usually at work still. And we were either maybe going off to do our homework or playing sports or we'd go up to the store and work mm-hmm. also.
What's your role in the company right now?
I'm the president and CEO.
When you look at what your parents built and your dad started Johnny Mack's, how do you think your dad built this iconic business into what it is today and why it's so loved?
Because he loved it.
Yeah?
He loved people. He's still, to this day, he's 90 years of age, and I'm 60, and I'm the fourth of the five sons in line, and it's myself and my youngest brother that are still in the business.
What are some memories you have growing up in the business when you were younger? And I got to assume you had to have worked there when you were younger, too.
Oh, yeah. I was 10 years old when I was engraving trophies and getting paid a penny a letter to engrave trophies and stacked three wood soda cases on top of one another to reach the machine.
Mm-hmm. Was that something at 10 you thought it was, you're like, wow, I get to use the engraving machine. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. It was the only thing I would have is sometimes the you know, would come back and say, "Hey, you misspelled this trophy wrong."
Do you still have the machine in the building?
We do.
Yeah?
We do.
Do you know how to use it still?
I do. Oh, sure. It's like riding a bike.
When was the last time you used it to engrave?
Well, the thing is that it's been sitting because, you know, now a new automated engraver has come along. You know, it's computer driven, so.
It's all different.
But the old hand engraver machine is still there, yeah.
A lot of businesses, family businesses, I love to hear when they use the old equipment that's been around for a while. I love when I hear about, you know, bakeries that use the same old mixers and they've had it in the company. They used to just make those things so solid.
Yeah,
long time.
It's like I say, it's like riding a bike, and the equipment is, you know, it's evolved like the business.
You said you are the fourth of five children.
Yes.
So you have three older brothers.
That's correct, and one is deceased.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. You said your dad's 90 years old.
Correct.
When did he retire?
He's never really officially retired.
Is that right?
Oh, that was his greatest quality was his perseverance and his hard work.
Yeah. When it came time for him to think about, okay, maybe I can't do the bulk of the labor anymore, and he started looking for his sons, when did he start showing an interest of passing the business down? When did that happen?
Well, that's the thing about my father and my mother always said, you know, he always had great ideas, and he would work hard at them, but he didn't seem to stick with it very long. Mm. And we say long, but, you know, today I guess it would be really long. He was in 67 is when he started it, and mm-hmm. in 1980 is when he decided to pass the business on at that time. And he went on to get into another business venture, which helped supplement and also grow the name Johnny Mack Sports Complex, where he had ball fields down in Valley Park where in the time during the 80s, when softball was so big, it was a very popular place to go and play softball.
Mm-hmm. So when he started thinking about this in the 80s, let's talk about the ownership. He maintained ownership in Johnny Mack's at that point, the sporting goods store?
He did up until 1980.
Until 1980.
Yes.
And then what happened in 1980 and what kind of decisions were made, I guess, on the ownership side? Did he start to transfer ownership to one of your brothers?
Well, basically it was the four remaining brothers. It was evenly distributed.
I see. So he basically 25% each.
That's correct.
Okay. Did you evenly run the business too, or did you each have separate roles?
No. My oldest brother, John, was the president.
Okay.
And, you know, we accepted and knew that that was his position and his role.
Okay.
And
did he show the most interest in the company, or just because he was the oldest, did your dad think that that would be the best fit?
Well, I think it was a matter of understanding that, you know, my brother did show an interest and wanted to really push and grow the business, in which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And my father just said, you know, that wasn't, you know, truly his interest in that aspect. And so that's the time that he passed it on.
It's the Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker, and we talk to the president of Johnny Mack Sporting Goods. His name's Bob MacArthur. We continue our conversation with him and what it was like when his dad decided to step down and his brothers took control of the company. That's coming up next, and it's presented by CMA Consulting. Did you know two-thirds of family businesses won't make that generational transition? It worked with Bob and his father and the siblings. But if you're in a similar situation, you're thinking about maybe it's time to retire, maybe it's time for me to step down. Whenever that time is right, you need to be able to identify the successor of your company if you do want to make sure it goes down to the next generation. But very few owners actively work to unify the kids to make sure they develop them into effective owners. Let me tell you about CMA Consulting. They got a thing called the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. If you're a family business and you would like to learn from them how to set up an effective family business ownership and unify the next generation, they have experts that are going to be specifically talking to you and the things you need to know. When was the last time your family members actually discussed this sort of thing? If it's been a while or if it's been never, it's time you reach out to CMA Consulting, unify, develop, and align that next generation. It begins in the first quarter of 2018. Be with other family businesses just like you and learn with them. Go to cmaconsult.com or call 314-721-1860 to see if this program is right for you. Again, the website that every single family business needs to know, cmaconsult.com. Welcome back to The Business of Family Business. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. Joining us in studio is Dan Bean from CMA Consulting in our interview with Bob MacArthur, who's with Johnny Max, president and owner, with him and his brother currently. But back in 1980, it was a different story. Other brothers were involved. I want to learn more about his role in the company then. So, Bob, what were your roles in the company at that time?
At that time, I was running our warehouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got to imagine you guys go through a lot of equipment in that warehouse.
Well, you know, at the time, what had happened is that, you know, my brother saw an opportunity for expansion in a property next door to where we started out.
Mm-hmm.
We started out in Crestwood, Missouri, right next door. And Sunset Hills was a Jim Keen Chrysler Plymouth dealership owned by L.A. Iacocca was running the company at the time. And so we had an opportunity to acquire that property, in which we did. And that's when my father said, that business, that building is so big, you guys will never make it in there. That was enough determination for my brother and us to say, okay.
That's how things work sometimes. That's a pretty good motivator.
And my father had the same, you know, all the time.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, let me ask you about that type of motivation when it comes to it. You think sometimes the next generation, they take on that challenge and some of people embrace it and other maybe siblings, they have a hard time keeping up with that type of expectation?
Yeah, a lot of times the second generation, the sibling generation, they're up for the challenge and they're looking for it. And they do have a lot of entrepreneurial spirit like the founder normally does. And the founder, generally, that entrepreneurial spirit takes the position of, I have no choice but to be successful, and I will find a way. And being told they can't do it just redoubles the motivation, and they will find a way to make it work.
How long was your older brother president of the company for after he took over in 1980?
It was about 27 years.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Right.
Were you still managing the warehouse for 27 years, or did you shift roles during that time?
No, I worked my way through all the facets of the business and then went on to be the retail store manager and then the general manager of the retail stores. And that was more of what I enjoyed and liked was the retail part of the business. Yeah. And he basically really enjoyed the institutional side of the business.
Was your brothers always involved during that stretch, that 27 years? Your other brothers?
No.
So they wanted out of the company at some point, and then that's when the brother said, okay, maybe it's time for us to buy out the other one so you can continue on with the company.
Did your brother buy out another brother, or did the company, or all the brothers, buy out the other brother?
The company bought out the other brother.
Okay, so that means
so then we went to equal shares of a third.
You kept equal shares among the three brothers then that were left.
Right.
That's typically how most family businesses would handle that transaction.
Well, you've been in a leadership role there for since 1980. That's a long time.
Well, I myself have been, manager of the retail stores at that time, all the way up to that time. But
yeah.
Really only president of the company for the last 9 to 10 years.
Right. How did you become president? At this point, was your older brother ready to maybe retire or leave the company, or how did you transition to be the president?
It was a combination of both the older brother wanting to not maybe position or take the position or work in the position as much as it was needed.
Yeah.
You know, to continue that.
Well, how has the company changed since 1980 to where it is now? You've probably seen a lot of change.
Oh, it's evolved a lot and a lot of changes in regards to different companies that have, come and gone. And
the way the industry works even anymore.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are some of those things that you've noticed changed over the years?
What had changed in the past is that at one time with my father and my brother, they had a local gentleman who, Mr. Jim Muskoff, who headed up the Johnny Max baseball organization that we sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And that gentleman did it out of love for the sport and kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what we saw at the time, which was very beneficial for both of us, you know, in regards to, we got to put Johnny Max on the back of their uniforms and they got to coach and do what they loved. Mm-hmm. And it was a great relationship and great times during that time.
Yeah. Did you ever coach yourself?
No, I did not.
Except for my
youngest, or my twins. I have twin sons that are now 18, but when they were in CYC growing up, I coached them in soccer 1 year. That was about it.
I got to imagine a lot of teams come to you looking for sponsorships.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than sponsorships, we had asked for a lot of donations on a daily basis.
How many different clubs or organizations come to you for things like jerseys? I got to imagine that's a popular part of your business.
That's a good question. I mean, there's at one time or another, it seems that any organized team or sport or, you know, school has heard of us, haven't been around as long as we have.
Founded in 1967 with Bob's father, but now the president of the company, Bob MacArthur, joins us from Johnny Mack's. We continue our conversation with him and looking at how the company may have changed in a digital world, which is an important way many family businesses adapt to try to continue to grow their business. That's coming up next. It's the Business of Family Business presented by CMA Consulting on KMOX. We continue with Bob MacArthur from Johnny Mack's. If you're a family business from around the St. Louis region and you would like your family story told, we would love to hear it. Just reach out to Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. Go to cmaconsult.com. Let them know you're interested in having your family business story told here on the Business of Family Business. And you can go back and listen to previous episodes as well and other family business stories at kmox.com in the podcast section. You've been around and in business since the 80s. When did the internet become a factor into your guys' business? Because I got to imagine that was another major shift in the industry for you guys.
That was a very big one. In fact, when the tech bubble happened, we were all relieved, like I'm sure a lot of other retailers at the time, that kind of went, whew, and wiped our brow and said, I'm glad that that wasn't successful, and it came back with a vengeance.
So the tech bubble, you thought, wow, this is great. Now I don't have to worry about this whole internet thing.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah. But then eventually, of course, now it's integrated into almost every business.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't get away from that.
Right.
So what was that like embracing it, and when did you guys decide to do that?
I would say for about 4 or 5 years now, but have not put as much resources, energy needed into having a full-blown, if you will, successful e-commerce. What we have found is that it's a great bit of advertising for us and a resource for our customers who want to shop when we're not open to see what we have available. So we have, you know, a grandma or a mom or a dad that runs in with their iPhone stuck out and saying, this is what my grandson or my son wants. And they point to the picture of what's on our website.
Have you seen the sales, the online sales grow year after year?
I have in the industry and our particular website, not necessarily.
Okay. Because it seems like online sales, especially when you have major corporations like Amazon, for example, how hard is it to compete when you have these outside large companies that can offer some of the things that you've been offering locally for decades?
You know, we are very fortunate that you have to earn it, but we're very fortunate to live in St. Louis, where it's a very small, big town, in that if you earn the customer's service by servicing them, if you earn their business, they'll return to you. And so that's our always top of mind to separate ourselves from the internet, is to be able to be there as a resource to help our customers. Not necessarily sell them anything, but to be there to help them for their needs. And we're able to fulfill those a lot of times.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting, that's a major advantage as family businesses have, especially local businesses. They're able to earn that trust of the people in the area. How much of an advantage is that really when it comes to local businesses when they're competing against very large corporations?
So it can be a big help because the family's values generally drive the brand and the type of brand that the company builds, and they drive the culture that the company has and the experience of employees working there and customers shopping there. Mm-hmm. If they also have a high profile in the civic community, then they build a lot of goodwill and brand awareness by doing that. And people do generally try to support the local mm-hmm. businesses that are very much a part of the community and contribute to the quality of life in that community.
Bob, how many of your brothers are still involved in the business right now?
It's just myself and my younger brother.
Okay.
My brother, Rick, is heads up our accounting and our IT department for us.
So you and your younger brother, are you co-owners of the business?
We are. We're equal partners.
Okay. Have you ever considered maybe becoming a sole owner of the company, or have you ever discussed that, or do you think you'll always be co-owners?
There's always been, you know, times when even personally and even with himself, I'm sure, you know, it's been discussed, you know, that being at it as long as we have that, you know, but we see that, you know, this is something that we both still enjoy. It's, you know, it's good for one another and it's best that way.
Dan, do family businesses ever pass the business to members to the next generation if the prior generation bought out that parent?
Generally, no. I don't know of any family business where siblings have had to buy out another sibling, and then the children of the sibling bought out got brought into the business in a key role. I just don't know of any of those situations. Usually when a sibling is bought out, usually that branch of the tree is kind of pruned from future ownership possibility. So mm-hmm. it would be quite unusual in my experience.
You guys have any children in the business now that might be working there?
We don't. My brother Rick has had a son, Bob, who's worked in the business for a time. And, you know, after discussion, it was agreed upon that it was best for him to go ahead and work someplace else for a while to get out and see what it's like to work for another company and mm-hmm. and learn the workings, you know, besides what he studied in school
right.
for business.
So really, outside of that, there's no other siblings that have, because for like you, you had all the brothers in the business, but over the years, was there other siblings that came in and out?
No, not necessarily, just on a part-time basis.
Yeah.
There didn't seem to be, for my nephews and nieces, an interest, you know, to work in the business mm-hmm. Along the way. And so up to this point, and I have twin sons that are just freshmen in college at this mm-hmm. time, and 14-year-old son, a freshman in high school. So
they're still very young.
Yes.
Going through school and college and all of that.
Correct.
What's that like? Do you hope that they show interest in the business?
You know, I think that I pass on, you know, what I was taught, you know, like my father, do what you want to do, enjoy it, be a nice person, and work hard, do what makes you happy. So that's what I wish for them.
Is that the same advice that your father gave you?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's good advice.
Yeah.
But he never really pressured any of you guys to get into the business.
No, not really.
You just wanted to.
That's correct.
Dan, I want to ask you about this because this is an interesting scenario. Sometimes the siblings or the next generation, they embrace it. Sometimes they may be looking to do something else. How do a family normally embrace something like this when there may be no other family members looking to come into the business?
So in Bob's situation, he may be facing a desire to move out of the business at his age before the next generation figured out what they want to do with their life and is interested in coming mm-hmm. into the business. So at some point, current generation sometimes has to say, hey guys, I've got to plan my exit. I've got X number of years, 5, 8, 10 years, whatever it is. I need to paint for you the opportunity that's available in this business. Mm-hmm. You need to decide in the next year or two if you want to try to take advantage of that opportunity or if you want to go chart your own course and do something else. Either way you do, it's fine. I'm not pushing. I'm not pulling. I just want you to make an informed decision and to know that this window of opportunity in the family business may only last so long.
Mm-hmm.
I can't guarantee it will always be there and be available when you might decide you want to come in.
Right. So, Bob, your dad was in his 50s when he decided to transfer the ownership to you guys. So he's fairly young at that point. Have you thought about what you're going to do or what's going to happen when you're ready to retire like your dad did?
With the age of my children, I still have a ways to go with you know, the yeah. college tuition and all that. So, but no, there has always been lots of thoughts of that in regards to and discussion with my brother that the possibilities that we've entertained of possibly forming an ESOP our partnership for the employees that are current to the business, and that possible exit strategy or continuation of the business.
Yeah. How many employees do you have?
We have over 270 at any given time, part-time and full-time employees.
Wow. That's a lot of employees. Do you love the smell of a baseball glove?
I do. And, you know, there's nothing that brings a better smile to my face than, you know, seeing a father come in, bringing his son into the store. And those are magic memories for that father, his son, and for myself to see that repeatedly, you know, where I'll have customers say, you know, your father umpired behind me when I was playing high school baseball. Those are tremendous memories.
Well, you have those type of memories, those type of moments. I got to imagine that a lot of different families go through those moments with their kids. And, you know, it's when their kids start playing sports and they get to go out on the field and they sit and they watch and they root. There's a lot of family nature that goes around sports. So you get to share a lot of those special moments. I got to imagine that that's pretty special for you as a family business to be able to share in those other people's lives that way.
It is. That's what's really, really fun about. And I don't get that much of an opportunity to do that, to go out onto the retail floor and meet and greet customers and talk to the dads and the moms and, you know, thank them for their business and talk to the kids and experience what has been happening there for 50 years,
you
know, which is memories, you know, of and experiences of people coming in. And, of course, today we offer the services of breaking a ball glove in by putting it into what we call a glove steamer and pounding it in and breaking it in, rubbing some oil into it, or, you know, and when that glove is it breaks a string, bring it back in, we can relace it for you. Sharpening skates in our hockey department and doing all those type of services are all the things that we do. Letter jerseys on the back of T-shirts and put names on the back of jerseys and things like that. And we do in-house silk screening, decorating in the facility also, along with embroidery.
We wrap up our conversation with some lessons learned. President of Johnny Mack's, Bob MacArthur, continues on the business of family business as presented by CMA Consult. And you heard Dan Bean talk about some ways family businesses are like many other family businesses, especially when it comes to the next generation. But what are those decisions you're making as a business owner to make sure, if you want the business to transition properly, that it happens the way you want it to happen? CMA Consulting is leading a multidisciplinary team to help family businesses unify the next generation and develop them into effective owners. Unify, develop, align, three words that are very important. From people and talent experts to tax and accounting to legal to risk management and banking, it's not always easy to say, here's the keys, it's yours now, because you want to make sure that when you do hand the business over or you do transition ownership, that they will be effective owners. They'll be stewards of that company. CMA excels in helping increase the odds of successful generational transitions and family harmony. Contact CMA for a complimentary, no-obligation meeting to discuss your family business or an upcoming generational transition that may benefit you. Even their upcoming series, the Business of Family Business Ownership Program. You can get info at cmaconsult.com or give them a call at 314-721-1860 and see if the program is right for your family business. The website you need to know for your family business, cmaconsult.com. If you've enjoyed this conversation with Bob MacArthur from Johnny Mack's, it's part of the Business of Family Business, and you can actually go back and listen to it, or you can even send it to a friend. Share it online. KMOX.com in the podcast section. Just look for the Business of Family Business on there, and you can even listen back to other conversations we've had with local family businesses. And if you would like your family business highlighted, reach out to Dan Bean at CMA Consulting. Go to cmaconsult.com. And let them know you're interested in having your family story told. So, Bob, from Johnny Mack's, you've grown a lot over the years. What are some lessons that you may have learned? Because I'm going to imagine at first there's only a couple employees, your dad and your mom, and now you have over 200 and you're located in multiple states and you still have a huge footprint and a lot of people have great memories of Johnny Mac's here through St. Louis. What are some of those lessons you've learned throughout the years? Because you've been there for a long time.
It's about our people, mm-hmm. about having good people and having, you know, people that you can trust and carry on what we're all about. You mentioned it earlier about the customers having trust in us, and it's us having the trust in our employees to carry that tradition on and represent our name in the community, just as we have over the 50 years.
Do you find it's difficult when you have operations spread out? We're talking about in areas that's maybe 9-hour drive from here. Is it hard, or is it just lots of communication that makes things like that work?
Well, it can be, and it's important always to have the lines of communication open in that, and also that they embrace your culture and understand. I think that's something that's difficult to do. There's been other companies that we've acquired that mm-hmm. your interest and the individuals that you hire for their interest is that we have a win-win situation and mm-hmm. that they continue on with our culture and they're happy working for us and that, but not necessarily has that always worked out.
Dan Bean from CMA Consulting. What can be said about the culture of a family business?
Culture is very important. There's a saying in our business of culture eats strategy for lunch. So culture is an invisible force, much like gravity. It affects us every day, all day long at work, but we seldom stop to think about it. Mm-hmm. And the culture is very hard to change. It reflects primarily the leadership style of the CEO and the executive team. And so culture tends to migrate and it tends to change slowly over time as leaders change their behavior or as things happen to the business that require some fundamental change within the business. But it is a very important force. And just don't get to touch it and feel it. It's invisible, but it's always there, and it's always affecting behavior and choices, and even what choices we see are choices we don't see.
Yeah. When you look at the future of Johnny Mac's, and you've already have expanded, are you guys going to continue to expand, or have you guys thought about what's going to happen next for your company?
You know, we're always looking to grow.
Yeah.
And we have opportunities all the time, and it's taking good calculated risk. If you don't take risk, you don't make mistakes. And if you don't make mistakes, you're not doing anything. So we've made plenty of mistakes, but we've made more right ones than we have wrong. And so, no, we see that there's always opportunity out there. And it's just like the one that we're looking at in Grand Rapids, Michigan at the time. We took advantage of a 65-year-old company that went out of business called MC Sporting Goods that mm-hmm. was also locally here at the time. Just last year they went out. So we reached out, inquired. We found the store manager of their flagship store up there. Mm-hmm. And just like any company, Kmart, Sears, any of them today, they have good ones and they have bad ones. And so we think we've picked the cream of the crop.
Cardinals still the most popular sport in town?
Absolutely.
By far?
Absolutely.
You probably see that with sales too, you know.
Yeah, baseball is by far one of our biggest sports that we do.
Tell me what it's like to walk into a Johnny Mac's. What's that experience like?
It's not a big box store.
Yeah.
It's a feeling that when you come in, it's one of like an Ace Hardware mm-hmm. compared to a Home Depot or a Lowe's. Sporting Goods evolved out of the hardware business, in fact. When you come into our store, we always have someone there to help you. That's the nice thing about our industry is that the people that work for us love what they do.
Yeah.
You know, they play sports, they love it, so they know what they're doing. We help educate them, help teach them how to help people, and teach them our way in regards to treat them how you would like to be treated.
Next time I smell a brand new baseball glove, I'm going to think of Johnny Mac's because that's one of the beautiful things about walking into a sporting goods store. Bob, I want to thank you so much for coming in, telling your story about Johnny Mac's, and of course, Dan Bean from CMA Consulting.
Thank you, Ryan.
And if you learned something here, go back, listen to some of our previous conversations with family businesses across the St. Louis region at KMOX.com. In the podcast section, just click on the Business of Family Business. I want to thank again Dan Bean from CMA Consulting and also Bob MacArthur from Johnny Mac's, president there. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. We'll see you again soon.